The following is intended for mature audiences only. Discretion is advised.
Hi, besties. It's Yamini. Thanks so much for listening to Pillow Fight. If you're new here, every week we play a couple rounds of Fuck, Marry, Kill, and Would You Rather based on recent pop culture and current events headlines and finish off the episode with some good old-fashioned personal truth or dare. If you like the show, give us a little like wherever you're listening, and if you're feeling extra generous, leave a review. If you prefer to watch the show, see our facial reactions, you can check it out on Big Comedy Network's YouTube channel. This week, I'm joined by Zoe Rose Bryant. Zoe's a writer and culture critic based in LA who has the best views on every film and TV series in existence. You can follow her anywhere on the internet at Zoe Rose Bryant for her good takes and Timothée Chalamet thirst tweets. Let's dive right in.
Pillow fight.
Is yours made of goose?
And we got feathers flying everywhere.
Mine's made of goose.
Pillow fight.
This is so fun.
We're pillow fighting.
Why is this so fun?
Pillow fight.
I'm seeing Past Lives tomorrow night.
Oh my god.
I'm excited about it.
Yeah, no, that is everything. That's, like, still my favorite movie of the year. I've, like, told literally every person I know, I'm like, you have to see this movie. It will, like, foundationally change your life. So I'm so excited for you.
What does that mean, though? Like, I'm always scared when people say things like that. Yeah. I like to walk into movies, like, kind of not knowing what I'm getting myself into. I think that usually leaves me with the best experience. Because when I hear a lot of, like, stuff about what to expect, or, like, what to prepare for, then I always feel like I'm a little let down. But I also feel like sometimes I walk in really not prepared. Like, I went to see Midsommar in 2019, and I knew it was an Ari Aster horror movie, and I had seen Hereditary. So I knew it would be scary, but I remember, like, making the dumb decision to take an edible before watching the movie. And then I went to watch it with my best friend's boyfriend, which that was, like, a whole kind of element of the movie as well. And then, like, 10 minutes before I walked into the theater, my mom texted me, like, I'm sick right now, like, just with a cold or whatever. But then, not to spoil Midsommar, sorry, skip ahead if you haven't seen it, but not to spoil Midsommar, but in the first 10 minutes, her whole family dies. And I was like, oh no, my mom could be, like, falling dead in the middle of this movie. And I said, I'll text you later because I'm going to see a movie with my best friend's boyfriend. And then there's, like, the whole shrooms trip scene, and I was, like, so high, and I was like, this is not the right call. I also watched Nanette, like, Hannah Gadsby's special, really high. That was not something I should have done. So I feel like I go in unprepared, and oftentimes it really bamboozles me. But other times it is good. Like, when I saw Everything Everywhere All at Once, I had no idea what I was getting myself into. I was just like, people are liking this movie. And then I left, like, crying, laughing, like, feeling everything. And then I told my family to watch it, and they hated it. So that was hard.
Yeah. But that was, I always have to, like, measure my expectations when it comes to, like, recommending, like, these art house films to my parents, because it's, like, all I watch now. And so I'm like, they're always like, oh, what are you seeing? I was like, probably a movie you've never heard of in your entire life and you would absolutely despise, but I will tell you anyway. But Past Lives, I do think, is very palatable to many. I think the reason it is, like, so, like, impactful, like, when I'm like, oh, it's so life-changing, is just, like, it's one of those movies that, like, makes you contemplate, like, all the choices you've made too. Like, it just, like, I love a movie that, like, makes you think, and not necessarily in, like, the super, like, abstract, like, intellectual way, but, like, a very emotional, like, contemplative way. And yeah, that so might lead to some traumatic breakthroughs for some people, but in a good way, like, in a healing way. So
okay, well, I feel like I'm always doing that, so
yeah exactly. My usual too, so.
Sometimes I regret, like, having done as much therapy as I've done at my age, because I feel like it's, I wish I could just be messier and be less thought through.
Mm-hmm. I'm too self-aware, like, yeah.
Like, I don't know. I think there's just some people who are still acting like they're 19, and although I'm glad that's not how I'm acting, it feels free. It looks like it's freeing. It looks like it's fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, we've had it. I wish I had knew less about myself sometimes like that. I feel like I would be so much more stable. But alas, we have to have such big brains. And
yeah. It's a curse. It's hard being so beautiful with such big brains and perfect opinions, but somebody's got to do it.
Fuck. Marry. Kill. Fuck, marry, kill.
After 40 years as host, Pat Sajak has announced that he will be stepping down from Wheel of Fortune. On an episode of The View this past week, host Alyssa Farah Griffin asked guest Ken Jennings who he thought the next host should be, to which Whoopi Goldberg chimed in, "I want that job. I think it would be lots of fun." Number two, in an interview with BuzzFeed, Spider-Man Tom Holland admitted that he has no riz whatsoever. He said he needs people to fall in love with him for any riz to work, so making a movie together where the characters were falling in love definitely helped him land Zendaya. Shuti Gatwa revealed in an interview this week that he was announced as the next Doctor Who while filming on the set of Barbie. He recalled that Ryan Gosling bounded up to his trailer after the announcement to say, "Doctor Who is the coolest show in the world, man. I'm the biggest fan." Gosling does seem to be a genuine fan and was even seen sporting illegal merch of Gatwa as the Time Lord last year. So fuck, marry, kill, Whoopi wants the wheel, Rizless Tom Holland, and Ryan Gosling is a Whovian, what would you do?
Oh my god, this is so tough. Okay, I think the first one that comes to mind is I would marry the Tom Holland headline because I am a huge Tom Deus fan. I love them. I think that's so cute. I just want to be with that headline forever. I feel like, okay.
It's hard because I feel like they're all good. They're all fun.
I know. This is. I know. I thought you were going to end the Pat Sajak one at him leaving, and I was going to be like, oh, kill, because he's like a crazy Republican. Like, get him out of there. But, oh gosh, I feel like Ryan Gosling being a Whovian is actually, like, kind of hot. I love when guys are, like, quirky and nerdy. So I'm, like, kind of want to fuck that one, but I don't want to kill Whoopi. Maybe I would kill the Whoopi headline just because I want better for her. You know, mm-hmm. I would love to see her on the wheel, but, like, she, like, screw Pat Sajak. Like, I'll, like, want her to go bigger, better things. So I'd probably say, fuck Ryan Gosling, being a Whovian, marry Tom Holland, no riz, and falling in love with Zendaya, or vice versa, and kill Whoopi wanting the wheel, just because we'll get her something else.
Yeah, she's EGOT, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just do feel like my household growing up was a big like Jeopardy Wheel of Fortune house. And I loved Wheel of Fortune, but I hated Pat Sajak. And I feel like if Whoopi was hosting Wheel of Fortune, or I mean if anyone that was like fun was hosting Wheel of Fortune, I would feel so much better about watching it and more excited about watching it. Like I haven't watched Jeopardy since Alex Trebek passed just because I don't feel passionately about any of those hosts. And I think that was like part of the deal. So I think the hosts really make it. I don't believe that Tom Holland doesn't have riz. Like I just don't believe him.
See, a part of me can see it. A part of me can see it because I think he's like a charming actor, but I can also see how he'd like flop trying to flirt with Zendaya, you know, like anybody to be honest, but
but I think there is like something in that is riz, you know, like
that's true.
I think the people that say they don't have it are the ones who really do, and I do think you gotta have a little to pull Zendaya. I don't think you can pass it off as it just be like your characters are falling in love, because in that case, like, why haven't you fallen in love with like everyone you've been in a movie with, in a romantic connection with? Like, you have to have something off the screen. And I think especially like looking at him, I don't know. I'm not personally like immediately like, oh my God, sexy Tom Holland. I feel like it has to be this like kind of calm, confident, self-assuredness that is Riz. Unless she's the one just making all the power moves there, which I also believe could be true.
Yeah. Same.
Yeah, this one's hard. I do love a hot nerd that is pretty big for me. Like Ryan Gosling being nerdy is huge. I'm not like a nerd like that, but I love, I think the best thing a man can be is a hot nerd. I recently went to dinner with my father where he gave me unsolicited dating advice for the first time. Never has done that before, but he was like, I know you're a creative person and I think like you surround yourself with a lot of creative people, but like when you think about your life partner, like I think you should think about somebody who appreciates creativity rather than creates creativity. And I was like, I think you're just trying to tell me to marry rich.
Yeah. I was like, wait a minute, let's read between the lines here. That's kind of true. Like, I feel like there is some truth to that. Cause like there, I feel like we like idolize like these creative couples. Like I've always been like, oh my God, like Greta Gerwig, Noah Baumbach, like that's the goal. But also like, I feel like it could get so competitive so quickly. Mm-hmm. Like you need like a really like non-insecure man because like that's really tough. Like, and where are they?
An insecure man is like a loaded gun. I was just explaining this to Rishi. Like all of these things that you're insecure about, being insecure is so much worse than all than being any of those things.
Yes. Yes. Agreed.
But yeah, I think for sure it's hard to be in a creative couple unless you're like both really secure and doing your own things and like not at all competing for stuff. I have like dated creative people and it has been like, Even if like I have totally felt secure, I also have like had, you know, they like read into your reactions and like, you know, you're not proud of me for X, Y, Z, whatever. So it can be hard.
Yeah.
But then I've also dated people who are like completely not creative and they just like don't get it.
I know. Yeah. That's the other problem you risk. Like, yeah. So maybe our ideal person is nobody. That's the conclusion I'm coming to. I was like, wow, there's like not a person I'm compatible with.
I just see like these kind of powerful women who have been kind of alone their whole careers. And I'm like, oh no.
I know. I know. No. I like all these like women I like look up to. I was like, wait a minute. What's the common denominator here?
But I don't know, like Zendaya and Tom Holland seems to be working and they're both actors, but I think because they're so different, like type wise, it's not ever a concern. But I don't know, like when you're in the attention of the public eye and people are always commenting on your relationship, it's like hard to not internalize any of that. Like, obviously this is such a different level, but I did someone who was like kind of big on Twitter. And even then people were always just like assuming things about us. I remember like he posted his astrological chart on his Twitter page and people were in my DMs being like, well, I know like because of your sign and whatever, like you're never going to be able to provide him with this. And like, you should just leave now and like all this stuff. And I'm like, well, what are you talking about? I like can't imagine being a celebrity on that level and hearing like so much worse about yourself all the time.
I know, that is really tough. Like, and it's hard. I do think like they're a good example actually, because I mean we have like no idea who these people really are, but like from the outside I was like, I feel like Tom Holland doesn't seem like an insecure man. Like it seems like he's like understands that like we all do, that Zendaya is a goddess, so he's like, yeah, like I understand I'm differential to Zendaya, which is how it should be. That's, I remember, like, it was my, Maria sent me this, like, meme, it was, like, a couple months ago, about her relationship, and it was, like, this, like, classic statue of, like, a man, like, bowing at the feet of a woman and, like, kissing them, and it was, like, this is the only way a relationship can succeed. It's, like, this dynamic. And I have yet to see that refuted. Like...
Yeah. I think it's true. I have to think about what I would do here with this fuck, marry, kill. I think I would also marry the Tom Holland saying he has no riz, because, okay, if he really does have no riz, he must have, like, the best, most charming, like, I guess charming is riz, but he must have, like, a great personality with a lot of stuff to talk about and just kindness and fun to be around that she wanted to, she has so many options and she kept trying for him, wanting to be with him. Yeah. And they're both very successful and talented and cool. And that is what you want in marriage. So I think I would marry them. I think that I would, as much as I love a hot, nerdy man, I think I would fuck Whoopi just being on The View, being like, I want that job. Because I think it's so powerful to just be at that place where you can just ask for something like that and not be shy about it. Similarly to sex, sometimes it's like awkward asking for what you want, like you feel shy or whatever. But like if you're with someone who knows how to do that, then it's like empowering for you to do that. And it feels like, okay, like I can just do this and the stakes are low and it's like freeing and it's all about power and you know, it's, yeah, she just asks for what she wants and it's like, okay, if you ask for what you want, you'll get it, or you'll like hear no and like hear why. I think Ryan Gosling and Shruti Gatwa are cool. I just personally wouldn't really have much to say or do about Doctor Who.
True. That's fair.
Were you ever on that like era of Tumblr that was like super Whoolock?
Okay, like partially. I was like on Tumblr during that era. I wasn't like in every fandom, but I did watch a little bit of Doctor Who back during the Matt Smith era. So I am not the most knowledgeable, but I do have some. So in my mind, I was like, wow, that's kind of insane that a guy as hot as Ryan Gosling was as well.
I like the kind of trend that's going on towards like men getting together to like play Dungeons and Dragons rather than watch football, you know?
Yes, yes, I know. No, it's crazy. Like, literally, like, so many of the guys I know out here who I think are, like, these cool guys, it's like, hey, let's play this, like, Dune tabletop game on Sunday that'll take, like, 8 hours. Like, more power to you. We need to bring that back.
When men get together to do, like, silly stuff that isn't bad, I'm like, oh, yeah, you guys. Love that for you. I was talking to your roommate Jacob about this actually, and Isaiah and Maria also. We were saying that we feel like in LA, it's like the most we've ever been friends with straight men before in our lives. Because I think out here, there's like a higher percentage of straight men who are just like down for the girls and the gays and the like weird little stuff and not like sporty, like conservative, like jockey guys. And even if they are like that, they're still like artists and stuff. So they're a little more like emotionally sensitive. But it's really funny kind of exploring the minds and hearts of straight men, like as a anthropological group.
Yes, it is. And no, and like I like my entire life, I was like, I have never really had like close straight male friends because I'm like, I'm terrified of them for the most part. But I was like, yeah, like coming out here, I think they're, I mean, not to say that there aren't some bad apples in the bunch, but I think most, yeah, like especially being involved in like the creative community, just like naturally have to be like more empathetic and like open-minded and just like let those boundaries down. Like they are not like upholding these like rigid standards of masculinity. No offense, guys, but you know they're not not as like degrading all our straight male friends, but no, they're just very comfortable, and that is very reassuring to see.
No, I this is like what I was talking to Rishi about. I was like, you know, it's good. You know, it's good that you're not like that. The thing that you're insecure about, like, it's ultimately good for you and everyone around you. And like, you don't want to be that thing that you are jealous of.
Yeah, no, that is what we're trying to eradicate. So you're doing good.
Would you rather? Let's play a game of Would You Rather.
Able, the Weeknd, Tesfaye's show The Idol is in the news again this week. This time for showcasing an abnormally bad sex scene. A GQ article even went so far as to call it the worst sex scene in history. I don't really want to get into the specifics right now, but it does sound like they just wrote really unsexy sex, specifically in the things that The Weeknd was saying to Lily Rose Depp's character. I want to know if you would rather have your name attached to writing the worst sex scene in history or have your own sex tape leaked.
Oh, wow. You know, I think you can get past a sex tape, as many have shown us, Colin Farrell, Kim K, you know, but I don't think you could live down writing the worst sex scene in history. So I think I would have to go with my own sex tape leaking.
Yeah, I think I would do the same. Yeah. Because also, like, in your own sex tape leaking, I mean, it depends on the sex tape, totally. But if it's bad or whatever, it's like you can just kind of chalk it up to, you know, the environment, the other person, like, whatever. Yeah. The vibes are weird.
Exactly.
You writing this thing, like, you wrote it. You picked everything. You got to go back and edit. You got to, like, do all this stuff. And it still comes out like that. So it's like, if that's what you're writing, what is the sex that you're having like? I can only assume worse than that.
Yes. And that's the thing. It's like, if the sex tape was not good, everybody's had bad sex. So I feel like there's some, like, you know, generosity there. They're like, okay, like, give them one. But if you write the worst sex scene ever, like, you just can't come back from that. Like, that will be forever your brand. So
A$AP Rocky and Rihanna had a sex tape leak, I feel like, a couple years ago that people kept saying was bad. But now everyone's back to being like, they're so hot and cool. And
exactly.
You know?
Like, it fades from the public memory so fast that I'm like, you know, we'll, like, take the momentary, like, awkwardness and humiliation over being canonized as writing bad sex.
Yeah. I don't know, though. It, like, makes me, I'm confused because he would write some of the sexiest songs ever. Like, all the music he was writing for 50 Shades of Grey. I remember being, like, 15 and being like, ooh, this is... This is titillating.
Yeah, yeah.
But he can't write a sex scene.
No, and that's the one thing. Like, I haven't watched the show in full, but a couple of my roommates were actually in, so I'm, like, seeing bits and pieces or, like, what's on Twitter. And I'm like, some of the stuff, like, I feel like the, like, commentary with, like, Lily Rose and, like, the music industry is, like, really sharp. Like, I'm like, okay, there's something there. It's very, like, Britney-esque. And then, like, everything that, like, The Weeknd most likely contributed to is, like, genuinely one of the worst things I've ever seen on television. And it's like, how do you fall that far? Like, you, I mean, you know, different mediums and everything, like, music is not screenwriting, but it's like, what happened to that guy? What happened to that guy? Because you have
lost
no
Bella Hadid
on the show.
In a spiral ever since. He lost Bella Hadid and Selena Gomez, and he's been struggling.
Yeah, I know. I saw that tweet about it, and it was like, do you think this is how we talk to our queen? And I was like, if so, like, see, he's tagged with that forever now. So, like, you dug your own grave.
Yeah, that show is, like, upsetting me because it feels like the kind of thing that could have been so fun and, like, you know, like, I know we all rag on Euphoria and stuff, but, like, there is, like, something so fun about watching it.
Yeah,
and this, I feel like, seems to be lacking that. And, like, the cast looks really fun besides The Weeknd, like Rachel Sennett and Troye Sivan and Lily Rose Depp. That all looks fun, but he is just so grimy.
Yeah, like, it is such a bummer because, like you said, like, I was, like, a huge fan of Euphoria, and I think that, like, it's not perfect, especially the second season, but, like, there's something there. And, like you said, like, the cast just has, like, so much pull, and, like, there are so many, like, iconic moments. But with this, it's, like, it's just, like, devoid of anything. It's just so, like, surface level, superficial, and, like, that's what you get when you scrap an entire show made by a woman and try to make it from your male perspective. But, yeah. They did it to themselves. Can't feel bad.
Do you think they're gonna get another season?
I honestly don't think so. I was like, because the numbers have been bad and the reviews are awful. It's like, there's no upside here. And I think that, like, a lot of the people who, like, because a lot of people signed on to the first version, which was from the female director, Amy Simons, and then they were just, like, still on when Sam Levinson took over. And so it's like they were just kind of, like, along for the ride. But, like, I don't think a lot of them would want to come back. Like, Troy, like, he's doing new music. Like, Rachel, she wants, like, direct a movie now. Like, they'd be like, I'm good. Yeah.
Rachel Sennett, like, everything else she's done in her career has been, like, totally such a hit and, like, a great choice. And I think this feels like the first kind of, like, not a misstep, but, you know, like, the first thing that's not, like, incredible that she's been attached to. So I feel like she doesn't need to keep doing this. And I saw a tweet that was like, these viewership numbers are even worse when you consider the fact that, like, 90% of these people probably just watched it because there's someone from Blackpink in it.
No, literally, I was like, and she's not even a character. She's just, like, there. Like, so they're not going to stick around. Like, it's such a mess.
I brought this up when I had Isaiah and Maria on a few weeks ago, but I have to ask you as well, like, do you think The Weeknd is, like, supposed to be hot?
Okay, we literally had this same discussion when, like, they were, like, watching part of the show. I like, think he's supposed to be, especially in the context of the show, but, like, I myself is not, I'm not attracted to him, but also I can recognize when, like, someone just is, like, canonically attractive, and I don't see it. I was like, and I think so much of the show, like, rests on him being, like, this, like, irresistible sex god, and I'm like, where is he?
It's like that in Uncut Gems too. Like, that's a plot line. Yes. The Weeknd being an irresistible sex god. And I'm like, I don't really get it.
Which again is like so antithetical to his entire brand. But
I think maybe like early in his career, like also when he had that like hair that was like kind of obscuring his face like that. Like there was like a mysterious sort of sexy part. But I really feel like as soon as he dated Bella Hadid and all that, when you fumble a baddie, like I lose respect for you.
And like, he's doing himself no favors with that stupid rat tail on the show, too. Like, you can look sleazy, but still sexy. And, like, he's just doing too much of the former on this
when
show.
When I see like, those like, pictures of Lily Rose Depp with him, that's also, like, what I'm confused by. Is it's supposed to be this kind of thing where she's, like, blinded by lust, right? Like, I haven't watched the show really, but that's what I'm getting. And it's, like, if you're going to be blinded by lust, like, that's not the guy. But I know I can't speak to this. Like, I have dated and hooked up with so many hideous people and gone back for more. But in media, you know, should be better.
Exactly. It's like, I'm not condoning my own life choices here. You're supposed to be, like, the platonic ideal, and you're flopping.
Yeah. So, like, if I was a casting director, I'd be making better choices than if I was just...
And that's the problem with him being like so in control of it and like it being his show, because it's like he can like have the last word on everything and like no one can tell him like you're not hot enough to play this role, like
I mean, it's the same stuff with like Sam Levinson and I want to be in a room, I want to be like a fly on the wall with the two of them talking, because I do feel like they're bound to blow up at some point, because I think they both have this like complex about just like having power and being able to like satisfy their fantasy of like being the hottest, most desirable guy, when it's like maybe not something that they've felt their entire lives. I mean, I think it's a little bit different. The mechanics are a little different, but
I think that's very true of so many men in Hollywood, actually. Like, I can think of like so many movies where like men are like either the writer, director, producers, and like cast themselves like opposite the most gorgeous woman you have ever seen in your entire life, and like she cannot resist him. And I'm like, this like mid white guy you can find at any Trader Joe's, like it's like so insane.
Yeah.
And it really is like such an ego booster thing. Like,
well, Trader Joe's does have hot people.
Hot cashiers. Yeah. We actually had this conversation last night. We were like, what grocery store has like the hottest cashiers? And we landed on Trader Joe's. But,
I think Trader Joe's, because not even just because of the way they look, but I think they're like joie de vivre is the highest of any grocery store. We were talking about Erewhon, like, and in LA, I think a lot of hot people shop at Erewhon, but I do think that the cashiers at Erewhon get beaten down by their customers and by their corporate. And so I think that they really are those are people there to do the job, clock in, clock out, get the money and go, and probably a high employee turnover. The Trader Joe's people, I feel like they're like helpful and friendly. The customers go in knowing they're going to be flirted with, so they flirt back. Yeah. Corporate like tries to be nice to them because they want it to go. They want that. Like, they tell them to flirt and stuff. They definitely have, like, better benefits than most grocery store employees, even though not good. But, you know, so I think that makes them the hottest.
Yeah, I do think they're the top of the hierarchy. And that's the thing. I feel like it's a unique thing where it's, like, the opposite. It's, like, Erewhon has, like, the hot customers, but the, like, cashiers who are, like, their morale is so low. Versus Trader Joe's is, like, the hot cashiers. And then, like, just, like, some of the clientele. You know the types.
I used to be such a Trader Joe's stan, and then I kind of fell off of it a little bit, because it started to feel like being a Disney adult.
Yeah. That's like such an apt comparison, because the bitches I know who are Trader Joe's stans, like, they have that same like moral life commitment to the brand. Like,
yeah,
that's so crazy.
And like, they have great snacks, great frozen food, but their produce isn't that good. And and also, like, I'm still laughing about how, like, for so long they had every like cuisine of the world is like Trader Ming, like Trader Giotto, like it's like Epcot.
Yeah, exactly. They're claiming it all. They're like, this was actually us.
We sent a trader to every port, like our origins. It started in Pasadena. Like, okay.
Yeah, let's bring it back to the roots. Let's, revisionist history. Yeah.
All right. Any last thoughts on the idol?
Hopefully it's over soon and we can all move on, because I'm sick and tired of seeing this on my timeline.
I wanted to hear your thoughts on him saying that he forgot how to sing. Do you remember the headline?
Yes. And ago, like, but the crazy thing to me is, like, how do you forget the one thing you're like actually good at? Like, I was like, you're not acting well enough to forget what put you on the map in the first place. Like,
he thought he was pulling like a Jeremy Strong, you know?
Yes.
But you're not doing Kendall Roy. Like, that's not what's going on here.
No. Like, he thinks he's so method. We need a ban method acting. That's my other final thought. Is we need to,
Yeah, I mean, I think in general it's a pretty wacky concept. Did you ever watch Victorious?
Yes. Yeah.
Do you remember that method acting episode where they go to Sykowitz's house?
Yes. See, and I love that, because I love that, like, a show that's like meant for kids is poking fun at this. Like, I hope adults saw that and felt so silly. Because, like, other than Daniel Day-Lewis, like, who is the GOAT, like, anybody else, like, give it up. Just, you know, do what you gotta do. Get upset. Like, I can't deal with these tortured men anymore.
It's not that serious.
No, it's a job at the end of the day.
I get, like, when you go on set, if you want to, like, get in the mood or whatever, but people, like, stalking people down the street to method acting. It's too much. The Weeknd forgetting how to sing, like, yeah, that was your one purpose. It's really, it's so silly. Also, I'm like, if you can stretch your psychological concept this wide, like, why can't you just go to therapy?
Yes.
And heal.
Let's start there. Let's, post-idol activities therapy.
Zoe, truth or dare?
Ooh, truth.
If you could pick a new song to make the national anthem, what song would you pick and why?
Oh my gosh, this is a tough one. I feel like it has to be a pop princess, because for me that is most emblematic of America. Maybe, you know,
the America
I feel
that
like fire.
I want. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. I feel like Firework by Katy Perry. Actually,
I have always said that Katy Perry is pop music's Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, no, make it fight song, actually. You know, actually, I went there because of 4th of July, but thinking on it further, I think Party in the USA is, like, the most, like, gotta jump to. Like, because that is the USA I want to live in, you know? Like, that's what I think this country should be. And, you know, a woman who is singing it, not written by a slave owner. And we're partying. And that's what I want. Yeah, that is the future I want for generations.
That makes me, like, want to have a child, to look forward to, like, going to their swim meet and hearing, like, some kid, like, get up on the microphone and sing that, you know, before the startup.
Yeah. No, that's iconic. Like, just standing up in, like, a sports arena and, like, hand over heart while Miley Cyrus blares over the speakers. Like, that is America. Like, I close my eyes, I think of America. That is the scene that unfolds. Yes, okay, so truth or dare?
I'll do a dare.
Ooh, okay. I Ooh, I'm so proud of those. Did you see that like video of Lady Gaga like endorsing that medication or whatever? And people like,
I was at that concert and there was a sign being like, it's being recorded. Yeah. And everyone in the concert was like, oh my God, like we're getting a tour video of this show that we attended. And my friend who I went to the concert with sent me today, like, look, like we were in this commercial. And I was like, okay, that's another commercial booking I got last year. So that's how I'm looking at it.
I was going to say, I dare you to quote tweet that and like come out against it or something. Like give your comment on Lady Gaga selling out to this medication.
Okay, I have to find the tweet. Do you know where I could easily access it?
Okay, I just sent it to you. I think I found the right one. The Nerd Tech, it's such an insane
app. I know what it's like to perform through pain. If you're like me, one of the millions suffering from pain caused by migraine, Nurtec ODT may help. It's the only medication that can treat a migraine when it strikes and prevent migraine attacks. Treat and prevent all in one.
The footage is so funny because it's just like her in like a bug costume.
Yeah.
Jamming out it literally... to...
medication that can...
It means nothing for... I'm like, I don't know how this is really relatable to anybody who's on Nurtec, but...
She's performing through the pain, through the migraines. I also struggle with migraines, so I respect a relatable queen, but this is reminding me of Khloe Kardashian's Botox commercial.
Yes, that was an
insane... Or Priyanka Chopra's asthma commercial.
Mm-hmm.
What should I say about this? Hey, Lady Gaga. I've been a fan of yours for years. But now I finally have to say something.
And that's something.
And that something is.
We need ChatGPT to finish this.
What should I put in the... Okay, let's go. ChatGPT. Okay, so I'm going to find this link. Here's what I'm going to do. Copy this, and I'll say, Lady Gaga just did a commercial for over-the-counter migraine medication Nurtec. The video is here. Help me write a response to this commercial criticizing Gaga for selling out. Oh my God, they have a long one. This is really long. Okay, wait. I'm going to edit my prompt to say a tweet. Help me write a tweet in response.
Full, like, press release. Yeah.
Yeah, they gave me like an essay. Okay. Okay, here is what ChatGPT said that I am going to write out.
Okay.
Lady Gaga, it's disheartening to see you promote Nurtec in a commercial. As a fan, I admired your authenticity and commitment to important causes. This endorsement feels like a sellout move that undermines your previous significant work.
Oh,
#, disappointed. Wow, I don't know how to spell disappointed. Disappointed. #, artist integrity. Okay, let me read that out.
Okay.
Cleanly, because I was doing it while typing. Yeah. Lady Gaga, it's disheartening to see you promote Nurtec in a commercial. As a fan, I admired your authenticity and commitment to important causes. This endorsement feels like a sellout move that undermines your previous significant work. Hashtag disappointed. Hashtag artist integrity.
Yeah, no, she is over. Like, Lady Gaga right. over.
Tweeting it.
Oh my god. I just like to say hi. Oh my god, that is so good. They know, like, sometimes AI, you know, not sure if we're supposed to say this on the strike, but you know, she made some points. She made some points.
I think, like, we should have humans having jobs, keeping the jobs, yeah. and you just do less, you get paid the same amount, and you just do a little bit less work because you're getting help from AI. That's my yes. take on AI. I don't think that it should be like we should be replaced, but we should yeah. be allowed to like use AI in our jobs. Yeah, that we would have to do the work ourselves, and now we don't have to do as much work.
Exactly, because that's the thing. I'm like, I feel like it can be an effective supplement, but it cannot replace things. Like, not even just like morally. I just like don't think like it would. Produce the what you're like wanting, like it would be like also
I do think AI can write a better sex scene than The Weeknd just did,
and that is fair. I think that more speaks to The Weeknd's ineptitude than AI's, you know.
Can I ask it to write a sex scene for me?
Yes, wait, let's do it. Yeah,
how do I do that? Can you write a sex scene better than the one in The Idol by The Weeknd? It says, I apologize, but I'm unable to assist with that request. Okay, boundary setting queen.
No, like, and I respect that, you know? She said I'm done for the day. She's doing less work too, yeah. Okay, I'll do another truth.
Who do you think is the worst dressed celebrity that's like currently hitting all the red carpets? Like, worst dressed celebrity on the scene right now?
Oh, this is so tough. I feel like it has to be a man. It has to be a man. Yeah. I'm like, who?
I mean, I think that like usually though, it's men are staying there late. Like, they don't experiment, so they
yeah.
usually are like yeah. always mid.
Yeah.
But
that's fair. Let me look at Crave Media real fast. Like, what
are I don't think doing? I have an answer, but I feel like you pay more attention to the red carpets, so
I know, I do. Well, I will say I Margot Robbie is like my mother, like I adore her with every fiber of my being, but I do think she's needed a new stylist. I don't think she's the worst dressed by any means, but I do think, you know, I will say, okay, this one came up. Another, like, okay, so also love her, think she's gorgeous, but I think Sydney Sweeney needs a new stylist too, and yeah. one who can dress women with big boobs.
No, like, I see her style and I'm just like, I know that like one day if I'm getting to a place where I'm ever hiring a stylist, like it's going to be yeah. hard. It's going to be hard to find yeah. one that like a short woman with big boobs is a stylist. Yeah. Like they're yeah. like, huh? Like they yeah. don't know what to do.
Yeah, like it is. And that's the thing is like, she just is so gorgeous like already. But like a lot of the things they've been putting her in, like I saw at like CinemaCon and then I think at the Met too, or like some other recent event she was at, it's just like, it doesn't fit her. It doesn't like make her look her best. And she doesn't deserve that. So yeah. Not your own fault, Sydney, but your stylist chopped.
Yeah. I think there's something so powerful about a beautiful woman who can't dress though.
Yeah.
Like I respect it, you know. Especially with Margot Robbie, like especially a tall one. I'm yeah. like, you have everything but that, and it makes you so much more yeah. likable and relatable that you are missing that.
I know. And like it's crazy because like everything she wore in like Babylon and like Barbie, like incredible. Like the costume designers get her mm-hmm. to go. And then like we show up on the carpet and then like, okay. Like it's not atrocious by any means, but yeah, you know, that's Margot Robbie. Like, and it didn't also used to be that way. I was like, back in like the Once Upon a Time in Hollywood days, like she was regal. She was divine. And yeah, we need to get better before like the Barbie pink carpet. Like that is such a moment and you can't miss that. Mm-hmm. So.
So is your final answer?
I said he's winning probably. Yeah. no shade, but out of love.
Yeah. It's not really her fault.
No, yeah.
There was a season of The Bachelorette where they had two bachelorettes recently, and one was like tall, thin, like, you know, tall, thin and brunette, and the other one was short, blonde with like busty. Yeah. Like big boobs, big butt. And the way that they would dress the two of them made me so upset because like the tall, thin one was like always getting these like slinky, sexy, like cool girl outfits. And then the one with boobs was like getting dressed like the mother of the bride all the time. And I was like, let her be hot.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
It's so frustrating. Yeah. The Bachelorette does not look out for its women. Truth or dare?
I'll do a truth this time.
Okay. Ooh, okay. So this is inspired by me ditching my work day to be on this podcast. What's like the shadiest thing you've done on the clock at any job?
Ooh, shadiest.
Yeah.
Like something kind of a bad employee in general. Like I don't know. I don't think I'm a bad employee. I just, if it's not advanced, if I'm working for you and you're paying me as little as you possibly can for the job to get done, like why would I be devoting my life to this? I'll work hard for something that is like I'm passionate about, but I haven't had it like been employed like that very often. Like when I'm on a set or something, I'll work hard or something like that. But I'm trying to think the shadiest thing. I let another coworker steal something from our job for me. And like, I think that was kind of the shadiest thing because I'm too scared to do stuff like that. I let white people do stealing for me. When I go to Erewhon, I bring some brave white friends to steal for me.
Yeah.
But I don't do that myself. And I worked at a like gym that also was like, did retail like workout wear. Yeah. Our location was closing and one of my coworkers was like, I'm just going to steal clothes off the mannequins. And I let him steal something for me. I think that was the shadiest thing I've done.
And that feels like very Robin Hood-esque, you know, it's like giving back to the public. So I think that's admirable, actually.
I feel like I've also like kind of scorched earth left a lot of jobs. Like I usually, if the moment they wrong me and if I'm being paid minimum wage, I go off.
Yeah.
I don't think that's the best way to leave a job because I don't have references.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is what it is.
We've been there. I feel like that's the thing. That's the problem, too, I think, with being a creative and having to get, like, a job that's not related to anything you do because it's, like, so hard to summon the interest and energy to put up with, like, bullshit a lot of the time. I'm like, tolerance level is already so low, like the minute you like really give me like a grievance, I'm done. Mm-hmm.
The moment that they're like, nobody can cover your shift and the thing that I have to do is like a show or something, like why would I keep doing that? Sorry, like I'm replaceable to you, you're replaceable to me, like exactly. We don't need to keep doing this. It's like it's like dating, you know, it's not serving you, you can release.
Yeah, scorched earth. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Well, thank you so much for joining me. It was so fun to chat about all this media stuff. I'm very excited to see past lives and talk about it with you. And then I'm also very excited to see all of your post Barbie content and all of that.
I feel like there will be a deluge.
It's going to be a big Zoe summer.
It really, like, I was like, we ushered it in with my Barbie birthday party, and I just felt like riding that high all the way to the movie and beyond. Like, it was planned for me. I really do feel like there's some greater, like, celestial power. So
I love that. Where can my listeners find you, and do you have anything going on right now that you want them to check out?
Yeah, so I'm pretty much everywhere at Zoe Rose Bryant, most often on Twitter, thirst tweeting about Timothée Chalamet or about Barbie. So yeah, either or, my two modes. But yeah, right now I'm not doing anything too crazy, just always writing about film, working on projects of my own and talking about that. So if you're into the entertainment industry, I'm your girl.
Thank you all so much for listening. Check out Zoe's work and don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to this feed so you never miss an episode of Pillow Fight. Love ya. Bye.